Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, I'd like to take a second to shout out the network that helps distribute our show, Armchair Media. Armchair is a collection of 50 plus podcasts, including ours, trying to localize the sports world a bit more. We've been with them for, I don't know, like 6 months or so, but we have really enjoyed working with Andrew and the rest of the team. Saints Happy Hour podcast, you guys have heard us talk about them in the past, but starting June 1st, Bet Online will serve as the title sponsor for Armchair Network, as well as our show. Pretty cool, right? Gone are the days of mowing our respective lawns. Now we are on to online sports gambling. So I guess that's a step forward. Also, I want to shout out the Nine Club. It's the world's largest skateboarding podcast, hosted by professional skaters Chris Roberts and Kelly Hart. Perhaps Kevin knows who they are. You can follow them at the Nine Club. To see all things Armchair, search Armchair Media wherever you get your pods, and make sure to check out Armchair's website, armchairmedianetwork.com.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Today, we are joined by Emmy Award winner, ESPN host, and NBA sideline reporter, Cassidy Hubberth. How are you, Cassidy?
I'm good. Oh, well, excuse me. Thank you for the introduction. It was a Southeast Emmy, and it was like, you know, via three other people, but I'm going to take that. All right, I'm an Emmy winner.
I think bragging rights come with winning an Emmy, regardless of how you win it.
That's what I'm saying. I took a picture with it. I didn't get to take it home, but nonetheless.
Maybe you'll borrow it like the Stanley Cup from time to time.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Cassidy, I imagine many hosts have some kind of setup at home year round. You never know when you're going to have to break some kind of new news story. But has your office started to resemble an ESPN studio with everything going on?
Absolutely not. I live in a New York apartment, two-bedroom apartment, with my one-and-a-half-year-old toddler who basically rules the house. So my setup is in my bedroom because it's the only place that I can actually lock the door and keep her from running in and ruining all my shots. So there's been a couple shows where you can hear her screaming in the background. Fortunately, she's napping right now during our show.
My wife and I met and fell in love in New York City. We moved down to Orlando 5 years ago, but we keep recounting, thinking to ourselves, how miserable would we be right now if we were in our tiny New York apartment? So very grateful to be in a house.
It's been rough, man. It has been rough. Like, New York City is kind of its own world right now when it comes to dealing with this pandemic. It's just the most susceptible city, I feel, in our country. So it's been a little crazy, but we're surviving. Thank God we're all healthy.
Happy to hear it. You guys can follow Cassidy at Cassidy Hubberth. Some news today. Adrian Wojnarowski says it's looking more and more like the continuation of the season will happen, and it will happen in my backyard at Walt Disney World. Bill Simmons of The Ringer says it's looking like the playoff schedule will take place between July 25th and September 20th. Just conjecturing there. Have you begun considering, Cassidy, that you or others in your profession may be quarantining in Walt Disney World for 2 months this summer?
I've been thinking about that a lot. And actually, since we've been in New York City, my husband and I have been trying to look at getting away for at least the next month before, you know, possibly I will have to be gone for 2 months if, I'm sent to cover whatever games are going to be played for the rest of the season. So we want to take some time out of this New York City apartment and try to find maybe a beach we can walk on that's open now. But we haven't heard anything yet from ESPN. Obviously, we're all just following the decision-making process with the NBA. But of course, you know, I'm circling the end of July where things are going to be real different.
Now, it's pretty wild. I imagine you probably don't have many details, but obviously you have a toddler with you. It'd be pretty hard to be away for 2 months. Would bringing your toddler into your hotel room, whether it's at the Contemporary or Fort Wilderness or wherever they set you up, would that be a major sticking point?
I think it's hard. I don't know. You know, I haven't been able to wrap my head around making that decision yet because I haven't been presented with it. And I think really we should apply it to what's going on with the players. I think there's a lot of logistics and variables that the NBA is having to deal with and consider. That's why, you know, it's just not like, hey, let's get back to playing. You know, the practice facilities are open. Let's all go head down to Walt Disney World. No, I mean, I think the decision of are players going to allow to have their family there? And if they don't have their family, does that mean they're going to be separate from them for 2 months? Because I think the issue is if when people are allowed to go in and out of the bubble, because then what's the point of the bubble if you can't control that? So I think that's going to be a major issue for a lot of these people. As we've seen with some athletes across the other sports, and Mike Trout saying, you know, his girlfriend or wife is expecting, and you know, he doesn't want to miss the birth of his first child. And so things like that. It's a big league, it's a lot of players, and there's a lot of family circumstances that, you know, obviously we all don't know about. So I think it's a lot more difficult than people are presenting it at face value, as far as just like, hey, bubble time, 2 weeks, let's get these playoffs, and go. Because the whole problem with this virus is stopping the spread. So it's either you have a bubble or you don't.
Absolutely. And a lot of those logistics, I'm sure we'll get details of in probably sooner rather than later. Just today, Brian Windhorst and Bobby Marks discussed a 16 seed playoff format. This would put Milwaukee as one, Lakers two, Toronto three, Clippers fourth, meaning that Milwaukee, Cassidy, would potentially have to beat both LA teams to win a championship. Have you seen this idea floating today? Do you think it's fair to introduce it at this juncture? What are your thoughts on this format?
So, you're saying so that they do it by they did it by conference, but they did it by the entire league 1-16. I didn't see it. My apologies.
No, not at all. You don't have to. I'll break it down for you. So instead of having two separate conferences with each conference champion coming to a head at the final matchup, right now the idea being placed out there is condensing all 16 teams into one, you know, best of 16, kind of like March Madness-esque tournament, so that you have seeds 1-16. Now, the problem with that is that you're splicing the West to the East. You're putting Philadelphia now at 12th. You've got the Los Angeles Lakers playing Brooklyn in the first round. You've got Milwaukee still playing the Magic, conveniently enough. But in terms of this, there's just a wide spectrum of teams who will be pleased without this outcome, and teams like Milwaukee who may not be so pleased with this outcome. And the fact that it's being introduced so late, you know, maybe Milwaukee shaves a couple of games to avoid the Clippers if they had known about this going ahead. It just seems like logistically, they might be introducing this idea too late, but in the future might be a bit more viable. Would you like to see this new idea introduced now? Since there's no home games, there's no better time to try it than now.
Right. And before, when people were discussing the two sites, Las Vegas with hosting the West and you know, Disney hosting the East, it kind of made sense to keep it still East versus West. But now that they're all on one site, and if they go straight to the playoffs, it does feel like it'd be more fair to pick the top 16 teams as opposed to just breaking it down by conference, because, we're looking at the actual every single team stacked up, records stacked up against each other. So, I understand your point about like Milwaukee, you know, having the best record and should have an easier first round, but like you could argue that for the Lakers and so on and so forth. I mean, you have the 16 top teams. And I think you know, especially coming from the Pelicans, who are on the outside looking in, you can attest that there's a good 16 teams who you know, could really challenge any team 1 through 16. So I why not? I mean, there's no rule book right now for this type of situation. Like, the NBA has never had anything like this where we, like, first of all, it's going to be in a bubble situation where all the teams are in the same area. And, you know, we have to figure out a way to get the season done in the most quote unquote fair way in the little amount of time, because you want to limit the amount that people can get exposed to the virus. You know, obviously you want to have a good, you want to have like a stretch where you feel good about the whoever's crowned champion. But the longer that you stretch out whatever run this is, you know, the more open you are to something happening.
Yeah, definitely will be something that we'll have a lot of discussions going forward. 20 of the 30 owners would have to approve it. So we haven't even gotten to that juncture right now. It's just in discussion. But Cassidy, I want to shift gears now and talk about our Pelicans. We're fast approaching the one-year anniversary of the Anthony Davis trade, quite possibly the biggest trade in Pelicans history, either that or Chris Paul, something that we don't like to refer to anymore, being that Eric Gordon was the prize of the trade. But let's go back in time a little bit. Davis originally cited winning as his primary purpose, though they had just swept the Blazers the prior offseason. Obviously, the Pelicans knew they'd have a decision to make that upcoming summer if he didn't extend. But were you surprised at the timing of his initial demand? I think it was a week or two before the trade deadline on January 28th or 29th. Were you surprised that he chose to do it then?
You know, when you're thinking back at that situation, obviously you wish it didn't play out publicly like that. Was I surprised? I mean, I guess I was a little less surprised given what happened with Paul George. I think I was more surprised when Paul George basically, you know, requested a trade in midseason. And then with Anthony Davis, it kind of just felt like, okay, I guess players are doing this now. But, you know, he made it, it was pretty clear that he, you know, his heart wasn't with the Pelicans anymore. So, and I as far as my surprise level, nothing surprises me in this league anymore. Yeah. that's how I'm going to put that now, especially when it comes to, you know, players taking control of power and taking control of their own careers.
Yeah, for sure. So the Pelicans initially refused to trade him. They fired their general manager, Dell Demps, after a bizarre circumstance where Anthony Davis and Rich Paul left at halftime without informing anyone, at least according to Alvin Gentry. But then the Pelicans came to an understanding with the NBA that they'd play him 20 minutes per game throughout the remainder of the season. And they were risking quite a bit by doing that. He was their richest asset. They still had to deal him. Everyone knew they were going to deal him. He could have been injured at any point. Do you think the NBA made the right decision in insisting on Anthony Davis playing? What would you have done differently in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should have been playing. I mean, there was, because also it was in the year, as we saw, that tanking was not going to be something that Adam Silver was going to tolerate. And, you know, which obviously the Pelicans benefited from with the draft lottery. But I just think, as far as like that 20-minute limit, yeah, like you may feel like are a little too much government governing your own team, but I do feel like he was still on that team. He should have been playing, and he should have been playing in crunch time. I didn't love that he wasn't playing down the stretch. I understand he was an asset that needed to be traded, and that's how he was perceived after requesting that trade. But I still feel like if you have Anthony Davis, he should be playing. It's you know, he should be there to entertain fans. He should be there to take on the competition. That's just my feeling. I can understand why Pelicans fans would feel differently. Of course, I'm not a Pelicans fan, so my heart is not in the same place. But I felt when that was going on, him being benched with 5 minutes to go in a close game just didn't feel right to me.
Yeah, no, it's a bizarre circumstance. Nothing I've ever been privy to watching. I'm not sure if anything comparable like it has happened, maybe before my time. But I would understand both sides of the spectrum, but it's truly just a bizarre circumstance and difficult to quantify what the right response would be to that situation. But you mentioned a lottery. The Pelicans win it. They shock the world. If New York wins it, perhaps they deal Zion for AD. Who knows? And then Durant and Kyrie maybe join him. Or if they get number two, maybe AD for Ja Morant. Who knows? But the point is, the Lakers get locked in at number four. How did the outcome of that lottery kind of alter the course of NBA history?
Well, I mean, let's just start with how it altered the course just by the fact that the Pelicans got Zion. I mean, I think that's first and foremost. If Zion would have, we haven't seen this type of, lack of a better word, prize in the draft since LeBron James. So you can, if you want to say, how did that alter? Say if the Cavs didn't get, LeBron James and, that Zion Williamson, as we can see every time he steps on the court, he delivers. He is must see TV. He is box office. All the cliches you wanna say, and I'm sure as you have felt around this team, that type of attention, that type of just desire to find out what's going on with the team and how they're gelling and like capturing the attention of the NBA in a league where LeBron James is still the king on the best team in the West. Zion Williamson was stealing headlines even when he wasn't even playing. So I think the reason that draft changed the course of the NBA because we have a new superstar who has the ability to captivate audiences that we haven't seen in a while.
All right, great stuff, Cassidy. Two more and then I'll get you out of here. Let's talk the initial framework of the deal. It was kind of scary at the time for Pelicans fans because Brandon Ingram was coming off what could have potentially been a career-threatening injury. Lonzo Ball had missed 65 games in two seasons. Josh Hart was a nice role player, and of course they got those draft picks in the deal. But at the time of the deal, it was declared a big win, I think universally by David Griffin, at least from what I saw, in terms of what he was able to extract from Rob Pelinka. Does the deal look even better to you now?
It does. It absolutely does. Just because, the time that I spent, because you were never going to get the full value of what you thought for Anthony Davis if you wanted out. And so you needed to make a deal. And so you lost that leverage there just by him saying he was leaving regardless. And sure, there was that question mark with Brandon Ingram. But if you paid attention to the league, and paid attention to people who were around Brandon Ingram, he had people believing that he is talented. I think goes back even when Magic Johnson said that he was untradeable because of the ceiling that he has. And then Lonzo Ball even just the move out of LA to New Orleans I think has done wonders for him and being around him this year, just him improving his shot and working with Brandon Ingram and even the budding relationship he has with Zion Williamson, that type of, atmosphere has allowed him to be his own man and not, whatever you want to say, the circus that was around him in LA, as a rookie. So I just think it was a really, really nice transition for all those players. You can argue, came into New Orleans with a chip on their shoulder. Brandon Ingram trying to prove that, he was healthy. And also, he is more of a subdued, shy type of personality. And in talking to him, he just said, New Orleans fits me better. I just feel more at home here. Same with Lonzo Ball and then Josh Hart as well. I think that having that group of three Lakers too, feeling like they were on the trading block, for all, like that whole season, and having that chip on their shoulder and coming there together, just kind of had an established chemistry, which then, was able to impact a Zion or a Drew Holiday. And it does feel like a really cohesive group down there. And I think they're only going to get better.
All right, Cassidy, last one. I'll get you out on this. Obviously, we don't know what the path forward is going to be. I've been pushing for playoffs only just in terms of safety. But there's been conversations about a play-in tournament, potentially eliminating just the bottom six seeds and having everybody else play some kind of tournament. In terms of the Pelicans, the Blazers, and the Grizzlies have had the easiest strength of schedule. They've got the hardest coming up. The Blazers and the Pelicans have played some of the hardest schedule, and now it's really breaking up for them, and they're just behind the Memphis Grizzlies. Do you think that teams like the Blazers and the Pelicans deserve the opportunity, given the circumstance, to still fight for that playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see a play-in tournament. I would think also, like, if you're going to have teams, you know, practice and get ready for a month of training, that you would hope that they could get at least, you know, a couple games to play. But who doesn't want to see Ja Morant versus Zion Williamson? I think everyone would want to sign up for that. And I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think there is a right answer. Because, you know, there's just, as we talked about earlier, there's just too many variables. And I, you know, to your point of just starting with the playoffs, but it would feel a little more fair if you would have some of those fringe teams just at least battle it out. As we saw, you know, 2 years ago when we had practically a play-in game with Denver and Minnesota, like that's especially since we were, you know, robbed of the NCAA tournament. If they're going to do NCAA tournament style 1 through 16, might as well have play-in games like they do with the tournament. So I think if it may be hard, you know, if you ask the team like the Pelicans to train 4 months together and then you only play one game, but I think you'd probably ask all those guys, you know, if you can have play and train to have one game to try to make it into the playoffs when you're really on the outside looking in anyways, I think they'd all say yes. And, you know, it's certainly something I'd like to see.
All right, great stuff. That's all the time we have for now. Thank you so much to Cassidy Hubberth for her time. Remember to follow her at Cassidy Hubberth. You can see her on some of your favorite shows on ESPN. Cassidy, best wishes to you, your husband, and your toddler in New York right now. It's got to be difficult times for you. I hope you're able to get out and see some beaches and get some fresh air.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hope you stay safe and healthy to you and your family as well.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.